Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Conversations with the Citizen. I am Catherine Newman, and I'm here today with my great friend, Vanessa Abron, who just recently released her book, Prelude to Pitch, the public relations guide and toolkit for small business owners, artists, music pros, and creative professionals.
Welcome, Vanessa, to Conversations with the Citizen. We're so happy to have you here today.
Thank you.
I know we're going to have a great time because we always do. Why don't you just start by telling me about yourself? What do you do? Mm-hmm. What makes you an expert in PR?
Okay. I don't consider myself an expert in anything because that's very limiting. However, I'm experienced in PR because I've been doing it for about 13 years. And what most people don't know is that I never really wanted to have a career in PR. My career actually started off in music. I wanted to do anything that involved music. And as I was on the track to do that, the industry shifted and I had to make a change. So when I took one PR class when I was in college, I had my PR teacher at the time said, Vanessa, you should really think about a career in public relations. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And the reason I said no, because I actually associated PR with the snooty girls in school. You know, they were kind of like the equivalent of the real life Ashleys, if you used to watch that cartoon back in the day. So I didn't think that I was a good personality fit for public relations. But when the music industry began to shift and I was having a hard time finding a job, a friend of mine who actually had a major in PR said that I should look into PR as well. And I said, okay, well, multiple people are telling me this. I need to look into it. So from there, I started looking into the job, and I've now been doing it for 13 years. So that's what makes me the experienced person in the industry, because I've done it for so long. Apparently, people saw something in me that I didn't see at the time. And what has made me able to thrive so much all these years is I try to look at the story from both angles. I not only serve my clients, but I also serve the media that are highlighting my clients. So I try to make sure that the marriage between the two is always mutually beneficial and not so one-sided. And I'm very conscious of that. I'm a very relationship-driven person in general, no matter what I'm doing. So I think the consciousness of the relationship helps me to do well in the area.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. The first time we ever worked together, I just immediately felt like I wanted to work with you for the rest of my career. You are an amazing PR person. I will rep you hard on that one.
Thank you.
So why don't we talk about Prelude to Pitch? You just did your book release. I have my signed copy sitting here right in front of me. What can we learn from Prelude to Pitch? What's in there? What's important?
So the reason I wrote the book, and the reason why it's called Prelude to Pitch, actually stems from my background in music. So if anyone is familiar with music, they know that prelude is the beginning of a song and the pitch is, you know, the sound and everything. And so I wanted to kind of play off of the two worlds that I had been a part of. So I combined my music world and my PR world together to come up with the title. And the clients that are in music came to mind as I was writing this book, because ideally the musicians and the people in music and the creatives are my ideal clients, because that is the background that I came from. However, unfortunately, they weren't in a position or aren't in a position where they are able to afford me, which is understandable, and I don't want to milk them dry. So I wanted to create something that could help them at an affordable cost, and then try to keep them on my radar at the same time until they're able to build up to be able to afford my services. So they were a key component in my thought process in developing this book. So what people can find in this book is basically the tools to help them understand PR and develop an approach that will allow them to implement it on their own.
Okay, perfect.
That was a lot.
Yeah, and I was looking through it, and the one thing, my first thoughts when I opened my book was that I was so excited to see that you not only are providing the useful information, but you're also leaving space for whoever is using this toolkit to scribble down their thoughts, scribble down, you know, you ask thoughtful questions, what is important, you know, what is your brand, stuff like that. Why did you choose to include that, the writing lines where people can learn and then immediately develop their PR pitch?
Good question. When I first started writing the book, initially I thought it was going to be information based. But as I was writing it and as I was thinking about how I receive information, I was thinking people don't need an information book. They need to be able to do this. And I thought that was the best way to reach this potential audience, was to allow them to actually write, you know, think out their thoughts. And think, like I said, think about the intended audience. The intended audience originally was for creatives. And this book is for anybody. Anyhow, it's for creatives, it's for small business owners, it's for a doctor, anyone can use it. But just thinking about them, these are creative people and they have to jot down their thoughts and a lot of things are coming across and they need to have that space to do that. And I'm that person as well. So I developed something I thought I would want. When I first got into public relations, remember, I didn't major in public relations. So I did go to the bookstore and I had to go find books about public relations to help bring me up to speed while I was doing internships all over again and things of that nature. So I was thinking there's no need for another book on just theories and, you know, what it is and things like that. People need to know how to do it. And so that was how it came about. It's just, I figured that was what was best needed. And like I said, I didn't think of it ahead of time. It was just something that came to me in the process.
And the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is why it is important to develop a thoughtful PR campaign. I feel like there's not a lot of people, but a decent amount of people that think that, you know, their product will speak for itself. Mm-hmm. Which in some cases might be true, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the value of just picking up this toolkit, mm-hmm. Prelude to Pitch, and utilizing it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you asked that question, because another influence for the book was just experiences with other clients. So when clients will approach me for the first time, you'll be amazed at how many people, A, don't understand what public relations really is. So a lot of times they think public relations is advertising, or they think it's some form of sponsorship acquisition or sales. And I wanted to make sure they understood what it was to begin with. And then by giving them that understanding and then going to that thought process of it's not just your product, it's about the story, I thought that was important, because so many people do think it's just their product. But when you think about just your product or what you're offering, that's very much a sales pitch. It's very much an advertisement. And I had to make sure that they understood the difference between sales, advertising, and PR, which is what it is. It's a relationship building avenue to get visibility. You're publicly interacting with people that you want to relate with what you're doing. And to do that is oftentimes about relationships and engaging people. And how do you engage with people? You have to be relatable. And when you're relatable, that's that story that comes out about why you developed that product or why you offer this service and why is it of need to the community or why is it of need to this segment of individuals and why is it important? And oftentimes, people don't think about that when they come to me. They think, oh, I have this amazing thing and I want visibility around it. That's all they think about. Mm-hmm. And no one thinks about the fact that 50 other people did the same thing and they're trying to do the exact same, you know, thing that you're trying to do. Is we all have 50 mops and we're all trying to sell these 50 mops, and my mop is this and my mop is that. okay, so if I want to talk about your mop out of all these different mops, what is it about your mop that makes it different from the other 49? And people don't think about that. Mm-hmm. And they don't think that that's how you have to cut through the clutter is, why am I different? What makes me so special? So, you know, speaking of mops, let's think about the movie Joy. You know, she had a mop that could, you know, that was self-ringing. And then when you think about it more, like, she has a story of overcoming, and she's a woman, and she started this business, and, you know, her family supported her but didn't support her, and she had all these obstacles, and now she's one of the most wealthy women in the world. So not only does she have this amazing mom, but it's like now she's relatable, because it's like, well, I'm a mom too, and I always had a dream, and I can do it, and it's like, I want to support her just because I like her. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't realize people support you just because they like you, and they think that that is not a marketing approach, but it actually is, and a lot of companies do that. I mean, if you do not think that the companies that you support are not thinking in the back of their mind that we're trying to get people to actually like us, then you're mistaken. And I learned this early on. I was actually working a part-time job selling cosmetics. And I remember talking to a customer, and she came to me, and we were just chatting. This is my part-time job, so this is like extra money. So I'm not really hard, you know, hard selling at the moment. And, you know, I said, hey, do you want to try blah, 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 blah. And she said, oh, no. And then I don't know, I might have said, oh, my gosh, I love your shoes. I don't know. I said something where we started a conversation. Mm-hmm. And then from that initial conversation, she's like, okay, I will try this lipstick. I'm like, all right, you know, go ahead and try it. And she tried it. And long story short, she ended up buying a lot of product from me. And I said, you know, I was thankful. Thank you. And granted, the product spoke for itself. It was actually a good product. But the product spoke for itself. But before she walked away, she said, I just want to let you know I'm buying this because of you. And at that moment, that stuck in my mind. No one buys something just because, initially, especially when you're starting out, but no one buys something just because, oh, it's a lipstick. It's like, it's something about mm-hmm. that product that they have, or that service, that they have an affinity to it. I go here because I love the service that they give me. They make me feel good when I walk through the door. I like wearing this because my mom and grandmother wore this, and I feel like it's a family tradition. You know, I wear this because when I walk out the door, I feel sexy and confident and blah, blah, blah. So you have to think about the human emotions that's attached to the things that people spend their money on.
And that is, it makes a lot of sense, but it's really interesting to hear you verbalize it in that way, the difference between PR and just straight up advertising. And I think that is something that you do really well, is build those relationships with people. So that's not surprising that you got that lady to want to buy so much makeup from you. I would buy makeup from you.
Thank you.
The only other thing I want to talk to you about, and it's just something that I'm kind of interested in hearing, how are you feeling being on the other side of PR right now, you know, with your book launch and now, you know, doing the podcast with me? I'm sure it's something you're not used to. I'm just curious.
It's very awkward. It's very awkward. And it's so funny because I sometimes find myself telling myself the same thing I tell my clients to do, like, relax, it's okay. But it's awkward because I actually haven't really promoted this book like I would tell a client to do. And how this book came about, honestly, I was kind of pushed to put this book out. When I first wrote the book, it was actually a supplement to a workshop that I put together. And when I promoted the workshop and said there's a complimentary book that goes along with the workshop, people told me, oh, we really want the book, are you going to sell the book by itself? And I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And then I met a young lady, and she interviewed me for a program that she was doing. And I don't know if I mentioned it or if she asked me about it, but somehow the book came up. And she's like, oh, how can I get it? And I was like, well, you can't. She's like, well, when are you going to get it out? And I was like, I don't know. It's just something. And she's like, okay, I'm going to give you a deadline. You're going to put it out by this date. And I was like, I don't know about that. She's like, you're going to at least have it on pre-sale by this date. And I was like, okay. So I stuck to her deadline, and I had an Etsy shop, and I still do. I have an Etsy shop for it. And I said, well, this was because it was the easiest way to just kind of get it rolling. It was the less it was the least amount of red tape to set it up. So I did it on Etsy, and then I'm going, and then how I did the book, actual book launch, was I was doing an event for a client, and I had a space set up for them to do it that, you know, that day, and the client ended up having to not do the event because of whatever reason. So, but I already had the space locked. And so something said, don't let the space go. Keep it. And I was like, okay, well, I operate psychically sometimes. A lot of times. That's my secret. So something said, don't let it go. And I said, okay, well, what am I going to do with it? And then, I don't know, it came to me. It's like, well, you got this book. Why don't you just do a book launch party? And I was like, all right, I'll do this book launch party. And then, so the book launch made me actually print the book. So I was like, okay, I have to hurry up and get this book.
I guess printed. I gotta get these books out. All these people are coming.
Now here we are. And so it's just like, yeah, it's weird because there's been no real strategy behind this whatsoever, which I totally do not advise my clients. Like I said, this has actually been more of a divine thing than anything. I definitely operate with strategy, but in this case, it really wasn't. It was very divinely.
Just happened for you.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to hear from you is where, I know I already have one, but other people are going to want them. Mm-hmm. Where can we get Prelude to Pitch?
So I am selling it online on Etsy.
Okay.
And I'm also selling it on my website, agencyabron.com. So that's AGENCYAB as in boy, RON as in Nancy.com. AgencyAbron.com, and it's right there for you to purchase and get it right away.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. I always have so much fun talking to you, so I'm really excited. I'm used to you telling me, okay, I'm going to be quiet now. You can go ahead with the interview. So it's great to hear your voice and have your voice and have it on tape. So thank you so much. And thank you for my signed copy of Prelude to Pitch.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in for this week's conversation with the Citizen. That's all we have for you today, but we will be back again next week.